From KMOX Sports, this is the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning. Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show. Let me get you updated on all kinds of things happening in sports. Let's reset. Cardinals play today against the Diamondbacks, 1:15 start, 12:20 for the pregame. The Cardinals will not have Wilson Contreras in the lineup again. He is out due to back spasms. Their lineup reads like this: Nootbaar, Wynn, Donovan, Herrera, Burleson, Arenado, Walker, Pajes, and Scott. Herrera is the DH again. He's hitting .394 this season with 5 home runs and 23 RBIs in limited time. Remember, he missed a lot of time due to a knee injury. Mason Wynn in that 2 spot looks very comfortable. Burleson had a big hit yesterday to boost his average to .291. Jordan Walker over the 200 mark now. He's at .203. With his 2-hit day, including 3 RBIs, a big double, and then a big hit in the 8th inning after his misplay in right field. The Cardinals will get after it today with Sonny Gray on the mound. Gray is 5-1 with a 4.02 ERA. Brandon Pfaadt's very good, 7-3, 3.81 ERA. In fact, he came into this series as a league leader in wins, so he's going for his 8th win already. So a tough one today as the Cardinals and Diamondbacks will go at it, and the Cardinals try to get themselves to a sweep to 16 of 20 if they win this game. And it would push them to 7 games over 500. They would get their 30th win if they can get it. They're 29-23. John Mozeliak will join us in just a bit. This is the greatest day in motorsports. You started the day with the Monaco Grand Prix, and it was won by Lando Norris. Norris locked up a wheel into the first corner, but still managed to hold off last year's winner and took his first Grand Prix since the season-opening Australian Grand Prix in Formula One. Then the Indianapolis 500, which is set to get underway here shortly. The Indy 500 will be featuring Kyle Larson, who's going to try to run in both races today, both this afternoon's Indy 500 and tonight's Coca-Cola 600 in Charlotte, North Carolina. Joseph Newgarden, who we visited with on this show, Sports on a Sunday Morning, is going for his 3rd straight Indy 500, but Newgarden will have to start from the back because of a penalty from NASCAR, from IndyCar to the Team Penske, and he's got the best car out there. Chris Blair talked about it with us in the last segment. We also have NHL and NBA playoffs today. The NBA in Indianapolis, Mark Boyle, the voice of the Pacers, was with us last segment. The Pacers are up 2-0 on the Knicks and play tonight at 7 o'clock. That spread is tight, though, if you're interested. The Pacers are just a 2-point favorite tonight. Maybe surprising against the Knicks, although these games have been very close. Last night was not close. Minnesota destroyed Oklahoma City 143-101. Talk about striking back and taking a game in the series. They're now down 2-1 in that series. In the NHL, Florida's up 3-0 now on Carolina, winning 6-2 last night. This afternoon at 2, it'll be Dallas and Edmonton. They will play, that series is a 1-1 series back in Edmonton for the game tonight. How about the St. Louis Battlehawks? They won over the Brahmas 39-13 on Friday night, and their regular season finale will be this Friday at D.C. It'll be aired on Channel 2, Fox 2, at 7 p.m. Battlehawks are 7-2. They've clinched a playoff spot. They're a half game ahead of D.C. in the XFL Conference. D.C. plays Houston today, and the Battlehawks go to D.C. for that finale. And then on June 8th, they will be playing in the XFL Conference Championship at the Dome. And on June 14th, they'll be playing, hopefully, in the UFL Championship at the Dome. Can you imagine if they get to the championship this time, what that Dome will be like? And what St. Louis will be like if they win it? Boy, St. Louis could use a parade, could use a champion, could use a little boost. And the Battlehawks are well aware of that. And they'll be playing on Friday, then the following Sunday, and then Saturday the 14th, hopefully. And then the following day will be the Bomarito Automotive Group 500. So you'll have IndyCar in town for a Sunday night for Father's Day weekend, a possible Battlehawks victory, and Perhaps those fans will head over to the IndyCar race on Sunday and make a big weekend out of it. But the Battlehawks are really good. I mean, it's fun to have a good football team in town again. 39-13. They said 27,890 fans at the Dome. And while that doesn't sound like a lot by NFL standards, that is a massive crowd by UFL standards. They just don't draw in this league, except in St. Louis, for the most part. And there are a couple others that maybe put some fans in, but not like St. Louis does. And they're loaded with great talent. I think they're flying right now with their quarterback, Max Duggan. They had a forced fumble and recovery for a touchdown by Micah Abraham, their cornerback in that game on Friday. And they were off and running. I mean, they have good opportunistic defensive players. They have good players on offense. Their backup quarterback, Brandon Silvers, hit Hakeem Butler for a 22-yard touchdown in the fourth quarter. He was 5 of 8 for 80 yards in the game. Duggan, 12 of 17 for 133 yards and a score. He did not play in the second half, as he shouldn't. They were already in the conference championship, so there's no reason to risk injury there. And their head coach, Anthony Becht, has this team rolling right now. Last year was a big disappointment. Mike Martz and I had the call for that conference championship game. It was a two-game package. We were going to come back if the Battlehawks were in the championship, and they didn't do it. They lost to San Antonio in that conference championship. This time around, motivated, and the UFL, rightfully so, gave them the championship game at the Dome, but they've also made the conference championship at the Dome. So after this game against DC, they're going to play both games, hopefully, in the Dome and wrap up as a champion. Wouldn't that be unbelievable? We'll see how that all goes. It's 11-13. On the other side of things, St. Louis City SC is struggling. They have now gone 11 consecutive games without a win. We're going to talk to Lutz Vandersteel, their sporting director, next on KMOX Sports on a Sunday morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio. John Mozeliak, Cardinals president of baseball operations at 11:30. Bernie Miklas at 11:45. Before we take you to Cardinal baseball, 12:20 pregame, 1:15 first pitch. Cards go for the sweep today against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Joining us right now is the sporting director for St. Louis City SC. It's Lutz Vandersteel after a 1-0 loss to Colorado last night. Lutz, good morning. It's always good to have you on.
Good morning, Tom.
I know it's disappointing, and let's start with that. It's the same story, but just in a different way. Describe what happened last night as you attempted to pull off a victory at Colorado.
Yeah, I think, you know, I believe the effort was there today. We did create a good number of chances. We had early on, after the weather delay, a huge chance by Cedric Teuchert, the one-on-one with the keeper, which we missed, which would have completely changed, I think, the gear of this game. And then you concede again before halftime, really in the moment when it hurts the most, a goal which was preventable, was like collectively not well defended. And then we, you know, when we have to chase a game in the second half against a team like Colorado, we know they are very well organized defensively. They don't give you too much. But we had enough possession. I think we also created enough chances to walk away with something at least yesterday, and we missed out on that. And you know, it's a shame, because I think there was an opportunity to play against an opponent which had a big number of injuries as well. So they didn't have their best team out, and I thought we had plenty of opportunities to capitalize yesterday.
Back to that toy shirt opportunity there. How would you describe that just in depth? Is that as much toy shirt, as much goalkeeper, a little bit of both? How did that not take place?
You know, Cedric is a player who can score in these opportunities usually with closed eyes, because if he has the confidence, one-on-one with keepers, that's his biggest strength. I think it was a great save by the keeper. Yeah, he made himself big. He waited for the right moment. But that's a chance which was massive, you know, 0-0. And it's just this little moment sometimes which changing the run of play completely. Yeah, it was a great pass by Klaus. And I think Toike did everything right. And just the finish was probably a bit too central, and the keeper could make the save. As I said, it was a brilliant save by their backup goalkeeper, and a wasted opportunity.
I think your team, while solid defensively, and we'll get into that in just a minute, is missing those opportunities offensively. I mean, when your team is at its best offensively, what does it need to be? Dangerous. Is that an accurate description? Do you need to be, and when you are great, you're creating danger?
Yeah, I think it has to do a lot with confidence, and it has a lot to do with the way, you know, the style of play. Right now, I think there is a lot of focus on being that solid defensively. I think that our way of play is always, you know, more like really active and aggressive, and it just comes, I think, also with the run of the results. You lose confidence, you back off. And I think we only can be dangerous if we attack as a unit. And sometimes, yeah, you give away a few more chances on your own goal, but you create more going forward. And I think, you know, it's all about scoring goals. If you can't score, you can't win. Very simple. And if you want to turn the season around, then Tom, it's about winning games and not getting a 1-1 or a 30-0 somewhere. I think to get in there, I think, you know, we need to set our standards and expectations at the club again, where we must be real and not shy away from that's not met at the moment, to be honest. And my job is to try to create an environment for the coach and for the team to succeed. So we're analyzing at the moment everything you can imagine behind the scenes and try to see where exactly that standard's leading us at the moment. And it's not just, I think, for me and for the club, but it's also for you, for the media and for the fans, that I think they need to know that the principles we had set out early on when we started that in 2020, you know, nothing has shifted. We still want to be the team who entertains. We still want to be the team who presses, who works hard, who has that St. Louis style in them. And, yeah, we need to work that out right now. We can't wait any longer and need to get back on track as soon as we can.
Because the impression that I get is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but what I hear from you and from other people in that room when I hear some of the quotes coming out of there is that that's not who we are. We're actually better than this. And that's where the frustration comes in, that you feel like you should be finishing those games, that you feel like you should be able to find ways to score against Colorado.
Yeah, 100%. I can't agree. Yeah, that's not what we are. We are. We should be better than that, and we need to figure out where exactly we actually cannot close the game down at the moment. You know, like go back into the game against Minnesota on Wednesday. I think the second half there was some really moments of good football. You know, turning the game around, getting 2-1 up, some really good individual pieces of work as well. And then in the end, you know, we kind of letting ourselves down to concede late or not being able to come back. And I think that's our own responsibility, that we have to meet that. And I know there's also a big part up to me to get that right. You know, it's about accountability. And I think everybody this week, again, we have to sit down and really analyze where we can do things better or where exactly is the problem and find solutions.
There was a lot of speculation running rampant yesterday. I don't know how much you read social media, but there was a lot of speculation about the future of Olof Mellberg. Everybody was questioning what was going to happen to the coach, and I thought, well, they probably should have listened to the show, because when I asked you about Coach Mellberg and what's going on in the relationship, you said, I don't think it's a good thing to be discussing the coach right now. We need to get better for everybody to step up. Do you still feel that way?
Yeah, I still feel that way, you know. But as I said, we have to have some hard conversations and some clear matrix is what we want to hit, and that's coming down now. I would say in the next 2-3 days to analyze that very careful. I mean, tomorrow is a bank holiday, definitely not for us. You know, that's a good moment to really sit down, rewatch the last 3 games. I mean, we had 3 losses in the last 7 days. Watch the 3 games, and I think we should be able to figure out where exactly we have our issues and how deep that is and how we can fix it. And I think that must be a team effort. And as I said, you know, it's accountability from everybody's side. I mean, we owe that to the ownership and definitely also to the fans. And we need to turn the season around. And as I said last week, the only thing what we can do is that we need to work as hard as possible and we need to fight. And that's the way, I think, to go forward when it comes on the field. But what happens off the field, we need to really sit down and analyze the situation.
And you have a good idea of the temperature of the room, as we like to say, the players themselves. You have good relationships with them. Are they together? Is this still a cohesive unit? And how do you avoid the finger pointing and you know, players starting to fall apart from each other?
I mean, there always will be some finger pointing, because if you don't get the results, you know, there's always somebody does make the mistake, and then it's important actually to unify that and realize it, that it's a team sport. It's not just one person makes a mistake, or it's one situation which changes the game. There is always many opportunities to help the guy who made the mistake out to fix it. And I think I think the players definitely are very willing to fix the situation. Don't finger point, work hard together. But right now, the danger is that we're coming into this moment. We haven't won for 11 games. You know, that's nearly a third of the season if you're putting it out in numbers, with 34 games, and that's a shocking number. And that's a number we need to also realize that's reality right now. So finger pointing doesn't help us at all. You know, it needs to be a team effort to get us out from that struggle at the moment. And I believe the players have that, but it's also very easy to fall into the belief that it's a losing culture, and we need to change that. And it's mostly in these moments, you know, it's one situation, it's one moment who completely switches over and things are turning into something good. We have to find exactly what that moment is and have that win again. And I think then we could kickstart the season. As I said last week, you know, we were talking a lot about the playoffs, Tom, and the playoffs are right now. I told you last week, I don't want to talk the playoffs anymore. I want to talk about to be able to go out there, compete, and be out there, be sharp, and try to be as hardworking as possible, as organized as possible, but also really fight for the city. We represent the Taylor family, we represent the ownership, we represent the city of St. Louis, and we need to be proud to do that. And right now, I do understand that sometimes that feeling creeps in the heads that, well, are we good enough? What's going on? So that's something we need to change. We need to get back into that warrior mentality we had definitely in 2023, and also partly in 2024 towards the end of the season. As I said, it's still the squad from last year who won a lot, and we just need to figure out what to do next to get back on track.
I know that, and the last thing for Lutz Fantasteel is that you told me also last week that you were embarrassed, you were disappointed, because you knew how important sports were for the community, and you wanted to be there for them, for some of that just good feeling after the tornado ripped through the city. But I will say, I'll commend your organization, that those proceeds from the City 2 match going to tornado relief. Lutz, that's a wonderful thing that I know the organization continues to push for. We talked to the Blues last hour. We'll talk to the Cardinals this hour about how sports can play a role, but franchises can give back, and you are doing just that.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, we went on Friday. Also a few guys, like I think we had 40 people from the club to help directly. I went there also with our president to that area, and it was shocking to see, but great how many people actually are willing to help to fix that damage, and then having on the same day the game with City 2 to get all that proceedings to the relief. I think it was a great thing, and I think sports obviously can unite. On that note, also was a great game, by the way, that City 2 game, 6-3 against Portland, with a stunning performance by the youngsters, where I had the feeling you can see in City 2 our principles, our style of play, which was beautiful to watch. And I think that's what we have to get into the back, into the head of our first team boys as well, that everything is possible. We have to start to believe in each other.
Lutz, thank you for the time. We appreciate your Sunday morning visits. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Tom. Have a good day.
You too. Lutz Fantasteel, Sporting Director, St. Louis City SC. When we come back, John Mozeliak, his Cardinals are on fire right now. They have won 15 of 19 games. He is with us live on KMOX next.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
Some drizzle at the track right now at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Hopefully they can get things going on schedule in the Indy 500. We'll continue to monitor that. Meanwhile, joining us on the line live, his team is on fire right now. They've won 15 of 19. He is the president of baseball operations of the St. Louis Cardinals. John Mozeliak is with us. Mo, good morning. Good to have you as always.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
Doing well. Going for the sweep today. I was there yesterday. My wife, Angie, and I celebrated our 22nd anniversary yesterday at the ballpark, and we were up in a suite watching the ball game. What an entertaining, wild, crazy baseball game that was, wasn't it?
Yeah, that really was. I mean, I think, like, a lot of it just shows, like, sort of the makeup or the character of this team. You know, the ability to always just punch back or fight back, and they just don't roll over. And I think, you know, after watching this club for basically 2 months now, it's fun. And they play with a lot of energy, which I think in the past couple of years we just weren't seeing. And I think the evolution of some of our younger players and really what's at stake with their careers, they're really making the most of it. So it's been fun. And, you know, we certainly want to continue it. And we know today will be a tough day, but, you know, the approach has been one day at a time.
One day at a time. Arizona Diamondbacks throwing Brandon Pfaadt. He's very good. Sonny Gray is very good. Matthew Liberatore was excellent yesterday. And Miles Michaelis before that. And on it goes. Your starters are bringing it, John Mozeliak. And that has been the foundation, along with your defense, for success.
Yeah, I think, a lot of people always ask me, like, what's the one thing? It's not the one thing. It's a little bit of everything, and I think that's what's making this so cool. You know, when you think about it from a defensive standpoint, you think about it from an offensive standpoint, you think about it from a bullpen or pitching standpoint, we're just getting a lot of contribution from a lot of different people on any given night. And historically, that is, you know, the recipe for success in this league. And it's basically not one way of doing things. It allows you to have different ways to beat a club. And that's what we're seeing.
We saw yesterday some big moments from Jordan Walker. I'll get to those. But I mentioned earlier this morning that I love those little things like making contact and bringing runners in. After Walker's big hit, he's standing at second. You got to get him home somehow. And Scott, with the ground out, gets him to third. Pozo, who never strikes out, makes contact and gets him home. That's a big run right there. I mean, the Cardinals are – that might be the recipe for success offensively, is that you're just making contact and putting the ball in play, Mo.
Yeah, we're definitely striking out less than we have in past years, which is, I think, from just a pure entertainment standpoint, a lot more fun to watch. But I think the contribution you're seeing really 1 through 9 is what's giving us that depth and ability to score runs on any given day. And that's cool.
Without Wilson Contreras as well, how is he doing? My understanding is he's going to miss more time here with the back spasms.
Yeah, I think we're just trying to be precautionary here. Obviously, you know, we want to get him back as soon as possible, but we also want to be smart and not have this thing drag out. So spoke with him this morning. Definitely he's feeling better, which is good news. But we got to get him to that point where he's confident where he can go, and we're not going to have any setbacks.
And the opportunity was there for Alec Burleson to play more, and he has come through for you at first base. Plays a good first base, too. And then there's Jordan Walker. I mean, this is just exactly, I think, what you're trying to see out of Jordan Walker. You don't want him to make mistakes, but he's going to. I mean, young players are going to do it. And he goes up there, gets 2 strikeouts, a double. He has the misplay in right, and then a monster hit. I mean, if that's not indicative of what the Cardinals are trying to do, develop players, you just watched it all in a handful of innings yesterday from Walker, didn't you?
You know, we've been preaching all along patience, but we're also trying to get people to understand we are trying to win. And, you know, that's that fine line teams walk when they are trying to balance the ability to develop, but also try to find ways to get W's in the win column. And, you know, it's tough. It's hard to navigate, but I think Ollie and his staff are doing a tremendous job doing it. And, you know, right now I think, you know, just from a Cardinal fan standpoint, it's certainly entertaining.
How are the minor league operations right now? I know that you're focused on the big club, but you're in charge of the entire organization. some of the things that are happening right now below the big club? Are they exciting you?
They are. I think the Cardinals are in a unique spot right now. Obviously, we've picked pretty high last year, seventh overall. We get the fifth this year. So just the depth we're able to add is certainly exciting. But the overall feeling right now, what's going on in the minor leagues is, very positive, and that's great to see. And so we're just going to keep trying to build on that. And, obviously, when you sit in this seat, it's not just about today. It's about what you're going to look like months from now, years from now. And that's something that we're not losing sight of. But we are certainly enjoying some of the fruits of our labor at the big league level right now.
You have Chaim Bloom and Rob Serfolio and Larry Day and a number of people working to collaborate. And I think that's a key word, isn't it, Mo? That has been a big thing here, is the collaboration between everybody to make sure that's the movement here, to get this organization moving forward, that you have that everybody is on the same page as to what happens moving forward.
Yeah, I do take a little bit of defense on that, as if we weren't doing that before.
Right.
Obviously, we are looking at trying to inject some new ideas, new thoughts, and really some different strategies. But, under Gary and his staff, I think they did a tremendous job, especially with the resources they had. And I don't want to ever take anything away from what he and his staff did over those years. But, as we move into this next generation of leadership, obviously things are going to be done a little differently. And hopefully, this organization sees those benefits and makes the most of it.
And that's exactly it. It's all about looking forward and seeing what things are happening. But I agree with you in paying tribute to Gary LaRocque and all that his staff did to build. And you just said the key word there, with the resources that were available. And Mo, we don't need to go through the trade deadline discussion again, because we just had it last week. You told me, plain and simple, you would love to have a complicated trade deadline at this point. This is really something to have your team right in the middle of this. You're two out. It's so early, but you're two out here on May 25th and very much in a division race. But before you know it, that deadline will creep up on you. 2 months away.
Yeah, look, we're 2 months into the season. It's a six-month season, so there's a lot of baseball to be played. But, obviously our rival up north is playing really good baseball as well, and got off to a very hot start. We got off to a very slow start. And, we're trying to make up some ground and make the most of it.
That you're doing. Just one, final thing. When you look at bullpen right now, are you happy with the way things are humming along? You have, of course, some options if you need to. I see, the occasional Svanson up and Roycroft down and things like that. Are you happy, I guess my question is, with your depth if you need it for the bullpen?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You think about normal years, there's times where you're just I don't know who to bring up. Mm-hmm. But with guys like O'Brien, Munoz, Fernandez, those guys have been throwing the ball pretty well down there. And, so I feel like, we have the ability to stay fresh, rotate out. And, and Roycroft's place, we just want to definitely get him more confidence in the ability to use that slider more consistently. The other day, he just threw 11 straight fastballs. So we've got to get that into his repertoire where he's comfortable doing it. Because if he does, he has a chance to be a swing and miss type reliever. And, we're excited about that. But you got to be able to land those for strikes. You got to be able to get them to chase. And so his evolution is something we just got to be patient with. But overall, I just feel like, we're really in a pretty good spot.
Development, absolutely. Watching him and getting that repeatable delivery, absolutely. John Mozeliak, thank you. It's great to visit with you as always. Have a great Sunday and good luck today as you go for a sweep.
All right, thanks, Coop. See you.
Thank you. John Mozeliak with us on KMOX. We'll take a quick timeout, and when we come back, Bernie Miklas will join us to talk about the club and so much more. We have a lot to get into with Bernie on Sports on a Sunday Morning. We're from the Stiefel Sports Studio, and we'll be right back. Just an update, Indianapolis dealing with some rain in the area, so the Indy 500, they're getting close to starting that, but there's still some sprinkles, and they've got to be very careful over there. So minutes away, there's going to be some more rain coming to Indianapolis. Shouldn't be too bad before they finally get that started. It's not good news, though, for Kyle Larson, who is trying to run two races today, the Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600. Joining us on the line is Bernie Miklas. He is with us every Sunday at this time. Sometimes we move him because of Cardinal baseball, but the Cardinals game today, Bernie, is at 1:15, and they are on fire right now. That has been fun to watch. What a crazy game that was yesterday.
Oh, that was, man, I'd like to put a list together of the best games of the season. That would be on it. That would be up there pretty high because, boy, they couldn't score, and then they scored, and the Diamondbacks came back and jolted them in the top of the eighth. Cardinals recovered in the bottom of the eighth. I mean, just phenomenal. And then Helsley with the cliffhanger in their ninth. So the Cardinals are just. What I love about this is, you know, before Arizona came to town, the Cardinals had lost 3 out of 4 games. Is that a big deal? No. But I was curious to see, you know, like, how they would respond to, like, their first little stretch of, like, not winning games when you go 1-3. It's not a big deal. But for this team, we're always going to be checking them. We're always going to say, okay, how are they going to handle this? How are they going to handle that? Well, they come out and, you know, led by Matthew Liberatore and Miles Michaelis, and they come out and shut down. I'm talking about their starting pitchers, those two guys. They shut down one of the best offenses in baseball, their starting pitchers, 2 games in a row. And, yeah, there were some twists and turns and some suspense, but the bottom line is they responded to this stretch of losing 3 out of 4 by coming out and fighting the Diamondbacks with everything they had. And both of those games could have gone either way. But as we've seen the Cardinals do it so many times, they found a way to win. And I just really admire this team and its competitiveness.
I hear you. And, you know, the Diamondbacks are really good. I mean, don't be fooled by their record. They lost 3 of 4 to – actually, they split with the Dodgers. Isn't that right? No. They lost – let's see. Let me see if I can find this. They – against the Dodgers, they had they lost 3 of 4. And then before that, they played the Mets and struggled in that one as well. They split with the Dodgers. They lost 2 of 3 to the Mets. They played the Phillies before that and lost 2 of 3. They played the Mets at home and won 2 of 3. They played the Braves before that, a good Braves team, better than their record, and lost 2 of 3. They have had a gauntlet of a schedule. So, you know.
They have. Yeah, I think they're one of the best teams in the National League. They got to get their pitching together. Although in this series, you know, Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly were outstanding, but they're as a team they're allowing too many runs. But they're still one of the best teams in the NL. And that's the other thing: the Cardinals, they match up very well against good teams. I mean, that was one of the questions we had, and I understand it because I asked it myself. You know, when the Cardinals got pounded by Boston, and you know, the Mets swept them that time in New York and Atlanta beat them 2 out of 3 in Atlanta. And, you know, the question was, well, can they beat the really good teams? Well, the thing of it is, you know, Minnesota's a really good team. They swept them. Let's move down to Philadelphia. They won 2 series from Philly. They won a series from Houston. They won a series with Milwaukee, which had a winning record at the time. They beat the Mets. Now they've beaten the Diamondbacks. I mean, they're showing, and they played, you know, they basically played, you know, the Tigers down to the wire. When you lose 2 out of 3, it's not that big of a deal. They played well against the Tigers, except for that final game. So, no, they're checking every box. I mean, you know, remember we were all wondering, you know, are they going to win on the road? Can they win consistently on the road? Well, they've passed that test. You know, can they fix the bullpen? They passed that test. Can they continue to win at home? They've passed that test. Can they beat good teams? They've passed that test. Can they handle adversity? They've passed that test. And that also applies to some individual players, you know, and maybe Tom, not that you're running the show, but let me just throw this one at you. Is Jordan Walker starting to find it a little bit? What a great performance by him yesterday.
Well, that game yesterday. Yeah. I mean, I'm in the seats yesterday watching the game, and I'm thinking, I went through the whole gamut when it came to Jordan Walker yesterday. The first two, I'm like, you know what? He's really struggling. I mean, he can't find it. He strikes out twice. Then he gets the hit, and I thought, what a great thing for him. Maybe this is it. You know, maybe the and then the play out in right field. Oh, Jordan, I mean, you got to that ball's got to you got to keep that ball in front of you. And then he comes back out there, of course, in a big moment, bang, gets the big hit. It tells me something about his intestinal fortitude, about him as a person, but also his skills. Yes, I think they have picked up. That is, those are two big clutch hits for the young man. We got to remember how young he is, Jordan Walker, Bernie.
Absolutely. You know, and if you look at it, he's had some good games lately. I mean, there was one Detroit game where he went 0-for-3. But he had had like hits in four. Let me think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He had had before that. He had had four at least a hit in four of his previous five games, with including a home run and including a double. Okay, so then the one Detroit blanked him on. I think it was the Wednesday game. It was, and then quiet. He actually was a defensive replacement Friday, and then yesterday 2-for-4 double. 3 RBIs, 2 huge at-bats, as you just acknowledged. So he's got a little bit going on. And that's all you're kind of hoping to see is just that progress. And I think his at-bats have been better. There's still some strikeout issues, but even those have gotten a little better lately. So that's a really good sign for the Cardinals.
I just think this starting rotation, giving them a chance to win, is a huge part of it. I mean, Liberatore was so good yesterday, but I cannot get over Miles Michaelis and what he has done to get himself back on track. That looks like the old Miles Michaelis back in 2018 when he was setting them up and getting their bullpen in position. He gives up one run in 6 innings. I mean, let's go. That's the guy you're looking for.
Yeah, he's been on fire. I mean, he's pitched great since that time he got pummeled in Boston, which was the third series of the season. He's pitched really well. He's given a chance to win every game. And that's, see, I think Michaelis and Liberatore both represent why this is such an appealing team, why this is such a team that is exceeding expectations. Let's face it, I'm not going to sit here and be a phony. I wrote Miles Michaelis off. I saw 2 seasons in a row where his ERA is over 5. He's not getting any younger. He wasn't striking people out. He gets destroyed in Boston. And he statistically was one of the worst starting pitchers in baseball. He really was. I mean, it's a fact. But I didn't see this coming, what he would do after that nightmare at Fenway Park. He's been fantastic. And so if you would have asked anyone who is objective about this, like, do you think Miles Michaelis will have a good season, a surprisingly good season? The answer would have been 98% of people would have said, no, of course not. What are you sniffing glue? Are you crazy? And then the other thing is then you take the combination of Matthew Liberatore, who's never fully gotten a chance to start where they've committed to him as a starter. So you have the oldest guy in the rotation. He's been written off. He's been awful for 2 years in a row until that Boston start. And so you take the old guy who's been written off because he's gotten beat up a bunch. You take the youngest starter in the rotation who never got a shot, and we're all wondering, can he ever be a starting pitcher? Should maybe keep him in the bullpen. The fact that these are the two guys, with all due respect to Sonny Gray, these are the two guys that have been like carrying the ball. The two of the biggest surprises of the season are Miles Michaelis and Matthew Liberatore. So for my point is, it's for an underdog team to do well and to exceed expectations. One of the first things that's got to happen is that there's got to be individual players who have not had a lot of success. And then all of a sudden, wow, these guys are locked in. These guys are really good. And that's how an underdog becomes a contender. You have enough of those things happening, in one season when you're an underdog, you get these underdogs can rise to the top when they get these great contributions from people that weren't expected to do so. Maybe Victor Scott's in that camp as well. You know, if you think about it, he didn't make the club until basically the final day out of spring training, right? Mm-hmm. So I would say he's exceeded expectations, you know. So and so that's just been going on and on and on. And Ivan Herrera just never stops hitting. Never takes a bad at bat. Never. He's a success story. You see, they're having, and I'm leaving people out. Don't get me wrong, but they have a lot of success stories going for them this year. Players who are doing better than perhaps we thought they would.
The plan is working out so far for the Cardinals. Two games out, six games over, and they take on the Diamondbacks today and go for a sweep. Bernie Miklas, have an outstanding Sunday. We appreciate all that you do online and on air for us and others, and we will catch up with you real soon.
Thank you, brother. Always a pleasure to be with you. Take care.
Always good to be with Bernie Miklas on KMOX. Let me say one final thing to the fans here, is that we are hearing you out there. Do not underestimate Cardinals fans. They protested. The empty seats were there. But I was at the game yesterday. There is a life to the crowd. People are starting to come back. Heard you cheer, groan, and cheer again for Jordan Walker's things and the things that he did, the hit, the misplay, the hit. Heard you boo Randall Grichuk when he did the jump shot motion, rounding the bases, approaching third after his home run. There's a lot of excitement right now among some of those fans. Don't think there isn't. This is a team that is a lot of fun right now. Cardinal baseball is next on KMOX.